In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Brothers and sisters, every Sunday, every divine liturgy, no matter what day of the week it's on, the gospel of Jesus Christ is proclaimed and celebrated. But on this Sunday before the Nativity, the gospel message is given to us in its most basic, most straightforward form. Today we hear the story of the birth of Jesus. And it's the version of the birth according to the evangelist Matthew. I think most folks, when we think of the story of Jesus' birth, the one that we're familiar with, maybe the one that we sometimes hear on TV even these days still, most folks will not think of Matthew's version, they'll think of Luke's version. Luke's version is long and very beautiful. It's very poetic. It reads like a story, many characters, and it takes the evangelist Luke two full chapters to tell his story of the birth of Jesus. It's 132 verses. It's long. But not St. Matthew. The evangelist Matthew is short, but no less sweet. It is a short, but no less sweet story. And after he presents this genealogy of Jesus, that list of all of his ancestors, St. Matthew tells the story of the birth of Jesus not in 132 verses, but in eight. Just eight verses. But oh, what eight verses they are. For us as Christians, they are the eight verses which mean everything, mean the world. They are eight verses which contain the entire gospel message kind of in miniature. But I have a theory that if he really wanted to, the evangelist Matthew could have presented the fullness of the gospel even more succinctly. He could have used even fewer than eight verses. In fact, the entire gospel message, I believe, could have been expressed by St. Matthew in just two of his words, let alone two of his verses. Two of his words. And even if all we have from the first chapter of St. Matthew's gospel were these two words, we would still possess absolutely everything. Not one single piece of the gospel message would be lost. Brothers and sisters, the message of the gospel is summed up in two names. And these are names which the evangelist Matthew puts front and center of his account of the birth of Jesus. Our Lord is called Jesus. That's the first and obvious name. And our Lord is called Emmanuel in these verses. Jesus and Emmanuel. The name Jesus tells us who our Lord is, why he came, and what he was born to do. Jesus very simply means Savior. Jesus is a Greek word, believe it or not. It's the Greek word for Joshua or Yeshua, which means God saves. And Jesus is the only one, as we say, who lives up to the meaning of his name. Jesus is the only one who Jesus is. Jesus is the only one who saves. It's like that graffiti that you see when you're driving through the countryside. You've seen it spray painted on bridges. You've seen it spray painted on rock faces, right? It says, Jesus saves. And that drives me crazy, right? Because in my mind, I'm thinking, that's redundant. Jesus means Savior. Of course, Jesus saves. If you really want an evangelical message that's powerful, one that works, you should say Jesus, Jesuses. That's a message that would work. I haven't been able to convince anybody of that. But it's that first name given to us by the Apostle Matthew that tells us what Jesus is all about. It's the what of our Savior. He is that. He is the one who saves. But if Jesus tells us what Christ has come to do, then that second name, the name Emmanuel, tells us the all-important how. How he accomplishes what he has come to do. Emmanuel is the name that tells us how salvation comes to us through this Jesus of Nazareth. And this is a big deal. Christians really disagree about how Jesus makes salvation possible to us. Orthodox Christians don't disagree. But for our non-Orthodox brothers and sisters, there's a big question here, a big important question. This is not really the time or the place to think about all the different ways that you could answer that question of how Jesus saves us. This is the time and place to contemplate and to celebrate just simply the mystery of salvation that comes to us on Christmas Day, that comes to us through the birth of our Lord and God and Savior, Jesus Christ. And the mystery of our salvation, the how by which God accomplishes his plan, is summed up in that second name, Emmanuel. It's a word in Hebrew which very simply means God is with us. God is with us. That's the heart of the gospel. That's all there is to the gospel, really. God is with us. That is the explanation of how God brings salvation through Jesus Christ. And as Orthodox Christians, we celebrate the great mystery of mysteries, that God, the God of all creation, desires to be united to us in a personal way through love. That's a mystery. You know how when you love someone, all you want to do is be with them? Well, brothers and sisters, that is the heart and soul of the gospel. That's the way that God relates to us. The holy and triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, so deeply in love with us and with all of creation that God simply desires to be with us, to be intimately connected with each one of us, each moment, each day. And that begins on Christmas Day. It begins with the birth of Jesus Christ. And salvation comes to us when we say yes, when we strive to do everything that we can to unite ourselves to Jesus Christ in love through the life which comes to us through this place, through being baptized and believing members of a messianic community, the messianic community, the church. Our life is given to us in this church, through the church, for union with God. It's the only reason we do all of this stuff. Our God is a jealous God, and he does not want to be separated from us even for a moment. Thinking of the sacraments of the church, they're all about uniting ourselves to Jesus Christ. Baptism, chrismation, confession, communion, marriage, ordination, these are pathways into the very divine life of our loving Father, a life he desires to share with us so desperately through his Son and through his Spirit. But for today, on this Sunday before Christmas, let's not think about the sacraments. Let's not think about all of the things that God calls us to do through the church, the machinery of the church that's here to crank out saints, to turn all of us into saints. But let us simply hear and contemplate the words of our Savior himself. For the unfolding story of Matthew's gospel is an unfolding story of what it means to call Jesus Emmanuel. Matthew doesn't stop in the first chapter. He continues to unpack and unfold for us what it means to hear and to receive the gospel message that the God of all creation is with us. As we know, Jesus did not come to establish a religion. He didn't come to set up a new code of behavior. He came to give us life. Real life. He came to give us his life, a life which we had lost. So here his words. From the 11th chapter of Matthew. Come to me, all you who are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and I am lowly in heart. And you will find rest for your souls. There he is, Emmanuel, God with us, inviting you and me into an intimate union of rest and freedom. From the 18th chapter of Matthew's gospel, whoever receives even one such child as this receives me. To reach out to others in love and mercy is not simply just to do something good. In doing so, we make contact with the very divine presence of Jesus Christ himself. We unite ourselves to our Savior. Through mercy, there is divine fellowship. There's union with God. From the 18th chapter of Matthew. It certainly felt like this last week with the snowstorm. Wherever two or three are gathered in my name, behold, I am there with them. There it is again. Behold, I am with you. Behold, when we gather with boldness and with confidence, we can say, Emmanuel, God is with us. in the 22nd chapter of Matthew. This is the great commandment. Remember when the lawyer approached Jesus and asks, which of all the commandments is the greatest? And Jesus says, the one thing that we should strive to do above all else, to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. He doesn't say to obey with everything that we have. He doesn't say to preach with everything we have, to tithe with everything that we have. He doesn't even say to fast or to pray with everything that we have. To love God with all that we have. To be as intimately connected with God as we can through a bond of love, through a bond of adoration, through a bond of attraction even. To yearn for shared life with Him, because that's what He yearns for us. We hear a big version of it towards the end of Matthew's gospel as Jesus is approaching His own crucifixion. First, He lets loose that parable of the last judgment, the parable of the sheep and the goats. Love and mercy and righteousness and justice are on center stage. And some are condemned for living up to it and some are welcomed into life. But Jesus has a surprise. He reveals that when we extend these things to our brothers and sisters, we do more than simply raise the quality of life in our communities. When we strive for justice and righteousness, we do more than increase the general happiness. We do more than boost life expectancy or consumer confidence. We do more than increase morale. For behold, when you show mercy to the least of these, my brethren, says Jesus, you have done these things to me. Me, up close, in person, in contact. The commandments of Christ are not given to us to keep everything ordered. The commandments of Christ are not given to us to keep us well-behaved. The commandments of Christ are given so that His life might become ours. It's that simple. And through this mystery of union with Christ, that's how we're saved. And we're saved with one another. Matthew chapter 27, verse 46. In Matthew's gospel, Jesus only ever says one thing from the cross. Right? We're familiar with the idea of the sayings of Jesus, the sayings of the cross. Well, in Matthew's gospel, he only ever says one thing from the cross. The evangelist even records it in Jesus' native tongue, Aramaic. He says, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which is, my God, why have you forsaken me? Brothers and sisters, this word of Jesus from the cross is the great Emmanuel moment in Matthew's gospel. Our ears and hearts, they have a lot of trouble making sense of these words. But to those who knew the Old Testament, these words were very pregnant with meaning. And for those in the early church, this meant everything. This was a fulfillment of the naming of Jesus, Emmanuel. Yes, it's a quotation of a verse from the Psalms, but to church, there was a deeper connection to even the creation story. We know that at His crucifixion, Christ departs from the Father's house. And this calls to mind the story of the creation of Adam and Eve, first husband and wife, way back in the second chapter of Genesis. Scripture describes the great passion that Adam has for his wife, which the husband has for his beloved. And Scripture then says of this great passion, this love, this attraction, for this reason a man will forsake his father and will cleave to his wife, and they will be one flesh. On Christmas Day, God makes the decisive move to be with us, to share His life with us. And at the crucifixion, which we're already beginning to look forward to, when Jesus Christ gives even His life in love for us, that union's completed. Christmas is where it starts. The crucifixion is where it's completed. At the cross, forsaking even the life and the house with His Father, and as His Father forsakes His departing Son, as it says in Genesis, at the moment of His death, Jesus Christ truly becomes what Matthew claims He is today in the gospel reading. He becomes Emmanuel. He becomes God with us. He cleaves to us. He becomes our beloved. He becomes one flesh with us. And we in turn, unite ourselves to Christ. And we do it to unite ourselves to Christ in a death like his, that as we say at baptism, we might be raised with him to new life. Brothers and sisters, the great message of the gospel is that the Son of God is Jesus. That's word number one. He's the one who saves. Word number two, he is Emmanuel. He is the one who saves by uniting his life to ours. And just in case we weren't convinced by the opening words of St. Matthew's gospel, may we hear the words which Jesus, our Emmanuel, speaks at the very end of Matthew's gospel, a passage so familiar to us, read on so many occasions during the church year. This is the conclusion of Matthew's gospel, after the resurrection. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo," and you know how this ends, "I am with you always, even to the close of the age." Lo, says Jesus Christ on Christmas Day and every day, lo, I am with you always. Lo, I am your eternal Emmanuel. Amen.